morning, everybody. We want to welcome you to morning worship in the Saviour's great name this Sabbath morning. We're going to think about marriage in our Bible study today. So I'm going to read to you just from Ephesians chapter 5, one of the key portions in the Scriptures on the subject of marriage. Beginning to read just at verse 24. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. And we pray the Lord will bless just those few verses to our hearts this morning. 381, please. When upon life's billows you are tempest-tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord hath done. So 381, please, and we're standing together as we sing.
Your many blessings, take them one by one, and then we'll surprise you.
Amen. Let's just seek the Lord together, please. We'll just approach the throne of grace in prayer. Father, we want to come to thee today with the praise and thanksgiving of our hearts. We think of the theme of this hymn that we have sung together. We rejoice, Father, in every blessing that we know and experience day by day. We acknowledge today that every one of those blessings comes from your hand. You're the God that daily loads us with benefits. We take a moment, Father, just to consider that and to acknowledge it and to give thee thanks for every blessing, even the blessings that we have known and experienced this day already. We praise thee for providing for us, for our families, for the work of God here in Armagh. We can say, Father, and testify that you have supplied our every need according to your riches and glory. We do acknowledge thee today as Jehovah Jireh. You're the faithful covenant-keeping God, the unchanging God. You're the one that sees, and that you're the one that provides for your people and provides for the cause of Christ and the work of the gospel. We want to thank you, Father, for morning worship, the opportunity to be in thy house, to fellowship with thy people. Thank you for each one that's assembled here at this holiday time. We thank you, Father, for the families, the children, and the young people too that are gathered in thy house today. And our prayer, Father, is that you'll bless us, each one, that you'll be pleased to make us a blessing, even the one to the other. Lord, we have acknowledged our blessings, and we thank you for the blessing of thy day. We thank you for the Lord's day. We praise thee for this day that you've given to us, a day, Father, that when we can leave all the work and activities of the other days of the week, all the mundane things, we're glad, Father, of a day that we can devote to God, to the public and private exercises of your worship. And we're able to say today, Father, with the psalmist, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go up to the house of the Lord. We pray we'll never lose that joy and that gladness of being able to attend the meetings, be present at public worship. We would pray, Father, that as the years go by, that even that joy and that desire would grow stronger in our hearts and in our souls. Remember every family of this church just at this time. We pray that every family would be conscious of your nearness and of your guiding hand resting upon them. Watch over those that are away at this time. We do thank you for the holiday time. We miss those that are absent. We're praying that you'll be with them and keep them safe and give them times of refreshment. Remember, Father, those that mourn and grieve just at this time. We ask you to remember our brother David and the Stringer family. Comfort them. Remember Sister Betty as well, just in recent days. We're mindful, Father, just of all the families that have lost loved ones in recent times, quite a number of our congregation that have been bereaved. We pray that they would know your nearness. We're mindful today, two of our sister Edith, asking that she would know the nearness of the Lord and the comfort that only thou thyself can give. Remember, Father, those that can't be here because of illness. We pray for our sister Lily, especially just in the hospital. Be near to her sister. We pray you'll guide the doctors. We pray, Father, for those positive results that would allow our sister even to leave the hospital again. But we're praying that you'll put your healing hand very clearly upon her. Remember Wallace. Just be with him. Watch over him at this time, day by day. Thank you for prayer answered for our sister Ruth. We praise thee, Father, for the improvement that she has made. We thank you for the very good progress in her recovery. We ask that that might continue. Uphold her, sister. Remember Jim, too. Put your hand upon him and strengthen him as he continues in his treatment. Pray that the treatment would be used even for the improvement of his health. Remember Brother Jim Cross as well. We ask he'd be near Jim and the infection that he's experienced may know the very clear and definite strengthening of God just at this time. Remember Brother George, just with the injury that he received, and ask that he would know your hand upon him as well. A recovery and restoration just of strength at this time. We commit him just into your hands as well. Remember, Father, the activities, especially of this incoming week. We bring the Holiday Bible Club before thee. Thank you for all the preparations that have been made by our sister Andrea and those that have been assisting her. We pray for the hand of God on these meetings. Thank you for all that are getting involved, all the workers. We pray for the blessing of God upon every night. We pray, Father, that you would be pleased to give good weather. Pray for safety of all the children, all the workers. We pray for Sister Joyce that you'll use her and speak through her. Pray that each one that has a part to play will know the help of God. We pray, Father, for the outpouring of your Spirit just upon the meetings. We pray for a very good gathering of children. We pray you'll give the increase even on previous years. We want to pray, Father, that children will be saved in the meetings. May it please thee even night by night to bring them to Christ. And we pray that through the children that adults will be brought along, especially next Sunday evening. But Lord, may it please thee even through the meetings and the children to bring families along to this church, add them to this congregation. We're mindful too, Father, of the witness that took place yesterday down in Belfast. We thank you for those that stood in the open air, presented the gospel. Thank you that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Your word tells us you're able to save the chief of sinners. And Lord, our cry is that you would save some that heard the message of the gospel as it went forth clearly and plainly yesterday. We plead, Father, for a turning of the tide of evil in our land. You said when the enemy comes in like a flood that you would raise up a standard against it. We plead that promise for our own land and for our own day. We remember Hannah and James setting out in married life together. Thank you for your good hand upon their wedding day, the presence of the Lord that was known. We want to commit them into your hands. We pray, Father, that you'll guide them. We pray that you'll be with them. And we ask, Father, as the Scriptures teach us, we pray that the blessing of God that maketh rich and addeth no sorrow therewith will be their abiding portion through all the days of their married life together. We now, Father, bring this meeting before thee, praying that you will be our guide through it. Guide us in every part. Guide us in every word that is spoken. We pray for the blessing of God upon the ministry of your word. We ask thee to break the bread of life to us. We pray for a word in season. And our cry is, Father, that you would teach us and speak to us from the Scriptures today. Answer these, our prayers, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The 127th Psalm we're going to sing together. Except the Lord do build the house, the builders lose their pain. Except the Lord the city keep, the watchmen watch in vain. So Psalm 127 will stand to sing, and the tune is Stroudwater. So let's worship the Lord, please.
Thank you.
John's Gospel, chapter 2, please, is where scripture readings found this Sabbath morning. The second chapter of the Gospel of John, beginning to read just at the first verse, the commencement of the chapter, and just the first 11 verses. John chapter 2, verse 1. Let's hear God's word to our hearts today. "And the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, They have no wine. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. His mother saith unto the servants, Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And there were set there 6 water pots of stone, after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. Jesus saith unto them, Fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. And he saith unto them, Draw out now, and bear unto the governor of the feast. And they bear it. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom, and saith unto him, Every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine until now. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him." So we'll just finish our reading at the end of verse 11, praying for the Lord to follow with his blessing this, the public reading of his word. I want to thank you for your presence at our morning service. We welcome you to the Lord's house, each one, in the name of the Lord Jesus, the one who is the sole King and head of his church. Any that are visiting with us, we give you a special word of welcome. We're encouraged by your presence. It is always a blessing to us to have visitors in the meetings. It's good to have the children that are along with us, those that are present, the children and the young people, even over the summertime. We're always glad to see you. Your presence is an encouragement to us. And we're glad to see some that have been on holiday. We trust you've had a good and refreshing time. We're glad to see you back with us again in the Lord's house. And there's some that are watching the service today as well on the live stream. We appreciate you doing that. And we pray that as you listen to the service today, that your heart will rejoice and the Lord will bless you through each part, especially the preaching of his word. Remember, please, the gospel service tonight at 6:30, preceded by the time of prayer at 6:00 downstairs in the church hall. We encourage you to come out again this evening. We encourage you to come a little early. Join us for the season of prayer. That would be an encouragement, a blessing. Remember, as you come to the gospel service, pray the Lord would put somebody upon your heart and invite them, encourage them to come. I'll be preaching myself at the meeting tonight on the theme, Is Your Soul Saved? A clear challenge in the gospel from the Word of God. Remember that tomorrow evening, Monday, starts the Holiday Bible Club here in the church. It'll run each night, Monday through to Friday, from 6:30 until 8:00 each evening. Miss Joyce Walsh, a children's evangelist, now for many years with our mission board, will be here to conduct the meetings, to bring the messages to the children. There is copies of the rota in the porch for all of the helpers. Some of you will have received that. It will have been sent to you. If you haven't already received a copy of the rota, please take one as you're going from the meetings today. Remember the flyers as well. There's still some of the flyers that are available. Take those and give them out. The consent form is on the reverse side. We ask you to do what you can just to make the meetings known. And please be in prayer every day just for the Lord to prosper the meetings. We thank Andrea and those that have helped for their labours in leading and arranging the Holiday Bible Club. And we thank all that are helping out, all that are getting involved night by night. It's very encouraging to see so many from the church, the teamwork that's involved. May the Lord be pleased to bless your labours. In the will of the Lord, I'll be on holiday for just over 3 weeks from Tuesday until Thursday the 22nd of August. We'll be travelling on Tuesday out to Calgary in Canada just to help to cover the pulpit there for the next 3 weeks, preaching at the Lord's Day services and the midweek meetings, helping with any other emergency or essential visitation just that is required. The pulpit out there is vacant, been vacant since last spring, around the April time. So a number of men from Northern Ireland have been sent out, especially over this summer period. The Reverend McVeigh from Dunmurry was out in May. The Reverend McIntyre from Clocker Valley out for the month of June. The Reverend Ferguson is there at present. This is his third visit to the work there in Calgary to help cover the pulpit twice during this current vacancy. And then the Reverend McKay is going out in the month of September. There is a group of young people from the Macrafelt Church that are out in Canada at present on a mission team. You know that the Reverend Andrew Simpson, who's in Prince George, originally came from the Macrafelt Church. His wife came from the Mourne congregation. So they've been labouring there now for a few years. And there's an extension work about 3.5 to 4 hours from Prince George and Williams Lake. So the group that have been out have been doing a holiday Bible club and also some practical work around the church there in Williams Lake as well. So we will cross paths with them at the midweek service in Calgary, God willing, in this incoming week. They're going to participate in that midweek service just before they leave to return home again on Thursday. So do remember that, please. We would value your prayers as we seek to help out just in the supplying of the pulpit there and the encouraging of the congregation. Pray for the trip. Pray for our ministry there. Remember, if you need any pastoral help during the time that we're away, contact one of the elders and they will be able to give you the help that is required. Wednesday night at 8 is the midweek meeting of the church. The preacher is Mr. Gregory Gibson. Gregory's a fourth-year student in the college from the Ballymoney Church. God willing, will be graduating in September. I know it's the Holiday Bible Club, but we do encourage you to be present, even if you are a little bit late, even if you're not able to be there at 8 o'clock. Remember the importance to pray for the meetings with the children this week as well. So keep our brother, Mr. Gibson, in mind. He would be encouraged by your presence, and I know that you would enjoy hearing him minister the word. Next Lord's Day is the 4th of August, the first Sabbath in the month of August. Services at the usual times, 11:30 a.m. and 6:30 p.m. The preacher at the morning service will be the Reverend Philip Kyle, now a member of the Mourne Church in Kilkeel. There will be no communion next Lord's Day, as there will be some preparations taking place just for the evening meeting after the morning service next Sabbath. The evening service will be the parents' night for the Holiday Bible Club. The meeting will be led by our brother, Mr. Billy McCrum. The children will take part, and the speaker next Sunday night will be Miss Walsh. So please remember that meeting. There will be some prizes given out to the children at the end, and there'll be supper for everyone afterwards. We ask the ladies just to keep that in mind. We ask for your help in the provision of the food. So please remember the services, and remember the half hour of prayer before both meetings. The next outreach will be Tuesday the 6th of August. That's Tuesday night week. The work will be carried on in the town of Rich Hill. Meeting at the Presbyterian Church at 7:30 on that evening. So that's Tuesday the 6th for the outreach team to continue their work down in Rich Hill. The Enniskillen Convention in our Bethel congregation starts today and continues through the incoming week, every night at 8. The preachers are the Reverends Samuel Murray, our current moderator, and then two past moderators, the Reverend Armstrong and the Reverend Thomas Murray. So there are some cards in the porch with all of the details, and if you are able, we do encourage you to give your support and go down and attend those meetings. The Ballymagurney Church will have their morning service broadcast live on Radio Ulster next Sabbath morning. The service will start just after the 10 o'clock news, so about 3 minutes past 10. We encourage you to tell others about that, someone that you feel would benefit from hearing the ministry of the gospel, maybe doesn't come out to church very often. And do pray for the Reverend Patterson and those that will be involved in that they will know the Lord's help and blessing. Some matters just relating to the missionary work. The Reverend Gardner had a good journey back to Australia again. We're glad he's arrived home safely. I pray that he will be encouraged just as he settles back into the work there. The mission team, the first of two the board is sending out this year, the mission team to Spain, that left just yesterday. They'll be doing a holiday Bible club and some outreach in the villages there with the church in Cortecas Nuevas. Remember, that's about a four-hour drive south of Madrid. And that team's been led by our brother, Mr. Colin Maxwell. Also, the two children's camps over at Moy Allen, they're held over the next 2 weeks. The first of those camps starts tomorrow, and then the second one is the following Monday, the 5th of August. So pray for all of these activities. Those that are unwell, please pray for our sister Lily Crane, still in hospital. They're continuing just to monitor Lily's condition. She is hopeful of being home very soon, but keep Wallace and Lily both in your prayers. We're very glad that our sister Ruth McAree got home from hospital on Friday, making very good progress in her recovery. Ruth and the family have asked us to pass on their sincere thanks to all of you, to all in the congregation, for your prayers through this very difficult time. It has been a great encouragement to them, and certainly Ruth's recovery has been a very real and definite answer to prayer. So pray that she will know and experience a complete recovery just in the days to come. Our brother George Hewitt had a very small piece of wire from a grinder that lodged in his arm during the week. It has caused what the doctors call a trauma site. He doesn't have the full use of his hand or the full strength in that arm. He was at the hospital yesterday for an examination. The doctor's confident that with some exercise and a wee bit of time, that his hand and his arm will return to full strength again. So please pray for George too, George and Stephanie and the family, but pray that George will know the Lord's hand upon him and will experience a full recovery. Just to mention finally, with regard to the building work, it will continue, God willing, in this incoming week. The maintenance and improvements just as taking place. This week they plan to lift the flags just along the back of the church, the path right along the back. They will be starting the work, God willing, this week on a low wall and the pavers that are going to be placed just in that area. So what that means is that that path will be out of use for at least the next two Lord's days, the 4th and the 11th of August. So to get into the church, if you're parking round the back, you need to come round this way, up the steps and so forth. Or alternatively, you could come round just and park in the front car park with the holiday time. It's just a wee bit slacker at present, so you can use the front car park just and come across to the door. So we're sorry for the inconvenience. Eventually, when that work is completed, remember we said there's a new ramp to go out from that path into the back car park, so it will make it much easier for those parked out the back to be able to access that path and come round to the front door. Please continue to pray for that work as well, and Trevor Bell and his sons that are involved in it, that the Lord will prosper them in their work. 184, please. The hymn 184. There is a book that comes to me from one who spake of old, who calls with shepherd voice the flock that wanders from the fold. 'Tis old yet ever new. 184, please. Verses 1, 3, and 4, and we'll stand as we sing. Amen. We're going to bow just together in prayer. Ask for the Lord's help in our study of His Word. Heavenly Father, we do praise Thee for Your hand on this meeting, for the blessing and help we've experienced thus far. We bring all of these announcements before Thee. We know that we ought to say, as the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. And Lord, we acknowledge that we need Your help, need to watch over us, Your blessing upon every one of these meetings and activities. Thank You for the opportunity given to our Ballymagurney Church to broadcast their morning service. Give help in the plans and preparations. Give our brother guidance in the message that he will bring. We pray that you'll use that broadcast. We pray, Father, that many will tune in. We pray that you'll speak through it. You've said that faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. As many across our land and even beyond hear the preaching of your word, may it bring them to faith in Jesus Christ as their Saviour. May your hand be upon the meetings down in Enniskillen, the brethren that will minister. May they be the Lord's messenger. Pray you'll speak through them. Pray there might be an ear again in our land for the word of God. Remember the children's camps as the boys and girls gather. All our children's workers will be involved in those as well. We pray that they'll know the anointing of the Lord, salvation, blessing, might attend to them. The group that has gone out to Spain, watch over them. We thank you for the desire in the hearts of the young people just to be involved in the service of the Lord. Lead them on with yourself. Use their efforts. May they be an encouragement to the Reverend Burnaboy and the congregation there in Corticus during this week. Thank you for your hand upon Abigail and the team that went out to Romania in this past week, for the work that was engaged in, for the blessing that was known, and the ministry of your word. And we're mindful of that group of young people out in Canada just at this time. We pray that you might use them. We thank you for that outreach in Williams Lake, and we pray you might build that work up. And Lord, if it please thee, even send a man to labour and minister full time in that place too. Be with us around the word. We pray for a message from God. We ask thee, Lord, to speak to us today. We would plead that you would come and break the bread of life to us. Even as we've just sung, we know it's old, but we pray that it might be ever new to our hearts and souls. This day we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. John chapter 2 and the words of the third verse are our text today. John 2 verse 3. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And then it says, and when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto them, they have no wine. I want us to think this morning, the theme of our Bible study is dealing with marriage problems. I want you to consider and face the reality just at the outset. Help us all to keep our feet on the ground. It's good for us to see, to recognize and acknowledge clearly that marriages do have problems. Sadly, it's very common in our day, in our society. In fact, we would have to say and emphasize it's all too common. And that's what we have here in this passage before us. There was a problem at the marriage. Now, remember, this couple knew the Lord. That's why he was at the wedding. And the lesson clearly for us is that problems come even to God's people. Being a Christian doesn't mean that you will be exempt from trouble in your married life together. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, Paul is writing about marriage relationships. In fact, he's writing there about problems in the marriage relationship. The whole of Paul's first letter to the Corinthian church is addressing various problems and difficulties that had arisen among God's people. So he's dealing there with problems in the marriage relationship, and he stated clearly, such shall have trouble in the flesh. So it's important to face the reality that even God's people will have times of trouble, times of problems in their marriages. Notice here that we learn that this problem was serious. They ran out of wine. Verse 3 says, they have no wine. Now that would mean the celebrations would have to come to an end. In fact, they would come to a very sudden, a very abrupt end. It would also be a major embarrassment for the family. You think of all of these guests, and there was no wine for them. How awkward, how embarrassing that would be. It's interesting, or it's evident, someone had made a bad mistake. There had been a miscalculation of the need on this occasion. So this was a very serious problem. The family could have faced legal proceedings or could have faced a very hefty fine, as was the case in those days. I point out to you that nowadays problems arise not by a lack of wine, but by too much wine. Alcohol is a serious problem in our society, and sadly becoming more serious as the weeks and months and years go by. I take the opportunity, men and women, to urge you to stay away from drink, stay away from the bar, not just on wedding days, but every day. I assure you that your enjoyment of a wedding and your enjoyment of your life will be none the worse. In fact, you will be the richer and you will be the happier for it. Remember, the wine ran out. So there's a very clear lesson there. And the lesson is it never satisfies. The lesson is that its pleasures do not last. But in addition to this being a serious problem, we also see that the problem was swift, because they weren't long married until trouble came. In fact, the celebrations weren't even over whenever this problem arose. In those days, weddings lasted a week. So inside the first week of marriage, there was a problem. And what a warning that is. Men and women, problems can come at any time in married life. Not just for those who are married for a few years or for a long time. So you need to be ready for problems from the very first day of married life. And it's clear, as we consider these things, marriage problems are very real. But the vital question is, how do you deal with the problems? Well, this passage has some of the answers to that question. And let me identify for you some of the answers just for a few minutes. The first thing I'll emphasize is the presence of Christ. That's one answer to marriage problems. Notice verse 2, and both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. What a blessing. The Savior himself present at the marriage. Brethren and sisters, that is our greatest need on a wedding day. And it's also our greatest need in married life, just to know that the Lord is present, just to know that the Lord is with us. Take a moment just and ask yourself, how much do you value the Lord's presence in your home, in your relationship, and in your family? Let me remind you that the Lord can withdraw his presence. The Bible says of Samson, he wist not that the Lord had departed from him. Maybe that's true of you. The Lord can depart, can withdraw his presence, and we can be in such a cold state of heart that we don't even know it. We don't even recognize it. I urge you today, brethren and sisters, be careful. Be careful how you behave. Be careful how you live. Don't do, don't say anything that would grieve the Lord, that would cause him to withdraw his presence from you, your home, your family, or your relationship. Let me remind you that when problems come, you need the Lord with you. It is our vital need at such a difficult time. We need the Lord to help. We need the Lord to guide. We need the Lord to uphold. We need the Lord to intervene. And we need the Lord to come and bless. It's great to have family and friends and so on. We need their help and support. But I stress to you that our greatest need is just to know the Lord is there, to know that the Lord is with you. And what that means is you need to invite the Lord. You need to invite the Lord to be at the wedding.
to be with you, just like everyone else, just like all the other guests. It says that Jesus was called. In other words, he was invited. You take a moment, think back. Did you invite the Lord to your wedding day? That's a vital thing that can be overlooked. Invite everyone else, but accept the Lord. Never think of that. Can I point out that for you to invite the Lord to come, you do that by prayer. You take the time to pray. You specifically ask the Lord to be present on your wedding day. And let us go a step further and ask, do you invite the Lord to be with you every step of the way? That's something that's vital, brethren and sisters, that the Lord is with you every day of your married life. I want to encourage you to do that. Pray for the Lord to be with you. Do you remember those that went to Emmaus? It says that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. So pray and ask the Lord to draw near. You can do that even now. Just ask the Lord to draw near and to go with you. You know the little chorus? With Christ in the vessel, we can smile at the storm. It makes all the difference just to have the Lord with you. So the presence of Christ. Think as well of the prayer to Christ. Look at verse 5. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, they have no wine. Mary here was very wise. What she did here with the problem was she brought it to the Lord. And I want to encourage you to see that you need to do the same. Don't ignore the problems. If you ignore them, they'll only get worse. Don't run away from the problems, as many do. I encourage you to bring them to the Lord. There's a little hymn we sometimes sing, are you weary? Are you heavy laden? Tell it to Jesus. And that's good advice, brethren and sisters. Tell the Lord. Tell the Lord about your burdens. Tell the Lord about your problems. Generally, whenever troubles come, couples tell everyone else but the Lord. How sad that is. They tell their friends. They tell their neighbors. They tell counselors instead of taking it to the Lord in prayer. Remember, he's the only one who can solve the problems. In the book of Genesis, it states, is there anything too hard for the Lord? And the answer is no. So remember that whenever times of trouble come. I stress to you today, there's no problem that is too hard for the Lord to solve. It might be too hard for you, for your parents, your family, for the marriage counselors, but it's never too hard for the Lord. So I urge you to pray about everything in married life. If you haven't already done so, you need to start to pray together as a couple and as a family. Whenever Paul wrote to Philemon in that little epistle, he referred to the church that is in thy house. Those words refer either to the practice of those times of a local church fellowship meeting in a large house because there was no church buildings, or to Philemon's Christian family and servants gathering for family worship and being likened to a small church fellowship. Or perhaps the case is that both ideas are included in those words. But let me ask you this morning, brethren and sisters, is there a church in your house? Do you pray together as a couple, as a family? Be encouraged today, brethren and sisters, or I encourage you, pray about everything, and especially pray about the difficulties, pray about the problems. The psalmist said, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. Notice the word trouble there is in the plural. But what an encouragement to pray about your problems, all your problems, including those in your relationship. The Lord will answer your prayers, and he can save the situation. He can work a deliverance for you. And let me say to everybody today, if there is trouble in a marriage, in your family circle, or your circle of friends, Be encouraged to pray. To pray for the Lord to sort out that situation, to intervene. I urge you to take the time to pray for that couple and for that family, that the Lord would come and put his hand upon the situation. So prayer to Christ. The third thing I'll emphasize is the precepts of Christ. Look at verse 5. Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Let me remind you, I know I've done this several times, it does bear repetition. Remind you of the radio ministry in the United States founded by Dr. Theodore Epp. He named it Back to the Bible. And men and women, that's what our nation, our homes, our families need, to get back to the Bible, to the Word of God. Moses said in the book of Deuteronomy, he says of the Word of God, thou shalt talk of it when thou sittest in thine house. That's to be normal family life, talking about the Bible. Thou shalt teach it diligently unto thy children. That takes time, but it takes effort and work. Thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. You're to display the Word of God in your home for others to read. But the lesson, men and women, is God's Word should be prominent in your homes and in your lives. Just ask yourself, is it? Is that the case? I want to urge you in your home and in your family, your relationship, don't neglect the Bible. Maybe you personally, maybe you as a couple, as a family, need to get back to the Bible, back to the Word of God. Vance Havner, that great quote of his, if you find a Bible that's falling apart that generally belongs to somebody that isn't, and you know, men and women, that's why homes and lives and marriages are falling apart. They've no place. They've no time for the Bible. Become so busy, just like Martha, cumbered with so much serving. No time to hear the Word of God, to sit at the Savior's feet. So I exhort you, read the Bible. And read the Bible together. Have times when you get down together to read the Word of God and pray. Read the Bible carefully, prayerfully. Read it together, unitedly. Read it collectively. And above all, read it submissively. Here is the path out of trouble, men and women. Mary stated it very clearly. Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. That is how this family, this marriage, got out of trouble. And it will be exactly the same for you. You know, it's sad when Christians do what everybody else says, when they do what everybody else wants, except for the Lord. So I stress that you must do what he says, whatever it is, even if it seems strange and foolish and you don't understand. They needed wine and the Savior told them to fill the pots with water. Didn't that seem a little strange? Little foolish, didn't seem to be the answer to the situation. But do what he says, whatever it is, men and women. You need to obey his voice and his word. Don't just be a hearer of the word of God. You need to be a doer, an obeyer of the word of God as well. The final thing I'll emphasize is the power of Christ. Remember, this was our Lord's first miracle. Verse 11, this beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee. The Lord's first miracle. And the first miracle puts a great honor on marriage, that the Savior performed his first miracle at a wedding. And that teaches us, men and women, the Lord can do miracles at weddings and marriages. And he can also do miracles with marriages, if you will only let him. Always remember that, especially if you have some difficulties you're facing, some difficulties together. There are some homes, some relationships, and they need a miracle. It's only a miracle that will save or fix them. But be encouraged this morning. that the Lord can do it. The miracle here was a change that took place. He turned the water into wine. I remind you to be encouraged that the Lord can change things. He can change the circumstances, and he can change the situation. He changed the situation here. He turned the day around. He changed the substance because he turned the water into wine. There's some people, and they want to use that as a reason to drink. The fact the Lord turned the water into wine and the guests partook then of that wine. I say to you today, sure, that's what the Lord did. He turned the water into wine. But I ask you, men and women, are you as quick to follow the example and the teaching of the Lord in every other area of your life? And let me point out to you something very significant that generally is overlooked by those that want to use this passage as justification for engaging in social drinking. I point out to you that before the Lord went to the cross, he became a teetotaler. And he's a teetotaler now in heaven. Do you remember what he said? I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. So I ask you to take note of that. Take careful note of those words and follow our Savior in that example that he has set. But there was a change, men and women. There was a change in substance, and he did it by his power. Remember, he's the Almighty. And he can change your relationship, your marriage, your situation by his mighty power, if you will only allow him, if you will let him do that. You think of the water and wine. The water's the ordinary, and the wine is the extraordinary. So what sort of marriage do you have? Which is it? If you want the extraordinary, then what you need is the power of God in your life and in your home and in your relationship. Here's the vital question. How do you live for the Lord aright in the home and before the family? How do you live for the Lord aright with your wife and your husband and your children, especially as time goes by, as the years go on? The answer, men and women, is you can only do that by the power of God. You can't do it in your own strength. You can't do it with your own ability. And you can't do it with your own personality. Certainly, personality is a good help. Remember what Paul taught in Ephesians 5? We're to be filled with the Spirit. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. I stress that is the Spirit that you should be filled with as a Christian. But in Ephesians 5, Paul identifies what areas of life the fullness of the Spirit should apply to. And one of those areas is marriage. Husbands, love your wives. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. We read a short section of that passage at the beginning of the meeting. And I stress to you, you can only do that. A husband can only love his wife as he should, and a wife can only love her husband and submit to him as she should, and so on. You can only do that by his power. And that is why, brethren and sisters, we need the fullness, need to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. But let me ask you to take this to heart today, this vital truth. Often, it's not the circumstances or the situation that needs to be changed. You and I are the ones that need to be changed. If you read Charles Swindoll, remember Charles Swindoll, the American Bible teacher, his book on marriage, Strike the Original Match, he tells there a little of his own experience. He said for the first number of years in his married life, he thought he needed to change his wife. And then one day it dawned on him, came to the realization, I'm the one that needs to be changed. So I impress that upon your heart. Sometimes that's what's required. Need a different attitude, different outlook, different temperament. Often the problem arises in marriage's end because husbands and wives refuse to change. They're so stubborn. The psalmist prayed, renew a right spirit within me. That's a good request, men and women. And maybe you need to pray it. Maybe you need to pray, change me. Give me the right spirit, the right attitude in my home, my marriage. Make me more like Christ, more like Jesus, more conformed to the image of his dear Son. So dealing with marriage problems. Let me close just with this thought. You think of the six water pots that are mentioned there in the sixth verse, containing two or three firkins apiece. Those water pots held somewhere between 20 and 25 gallons apiece. And then in verses 7 and 8, the Savior instructed the servants, fill the water pots. In the next verse, they were told to draw out. So what that means, you think of filling those six water pots, 25 gallons apiece, 150 gallons of water been carried, and then starting to draw out the wine after the miracle performed. That meant there was work to do. There was a lot of work. A lot of work in sorting out the problem. And it teaches men and women the vital practical lesson. Solving problems is hard work. I want you to remember that. Whenever a problem arises, there's no quick fix. There is no easy solution. The problems need to be worked out and they need to be worked through. They need time and they need effort. It's very easy just to turn your back and walk away. So I encourage you to see that and to do that, men and women, in the days that lie ahead. By God's grace, by God's wisdom, and with his strength. So a little of dealing with marriage problems is taught here in this account of the first miracle of our Savior in John chapter 2. May God bless and use his word today. 747 will give us homes built firm upon the Savior, where Christ is head and counselor and guide, where every child is taught his love and favor and gives its heart to Christ, the crucified. We'll just sing the first two verses. 747 will stand as we sing, please. Let's just bow as we close our meeting in prayer. Heavenly Father, we praise thee for the scriptures. Thank you for this book that's a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Remember the Savior in the Garden of Eden and the institution of marriage right at the very beginning. And we thank you, Father, for the blessing of marriage and of our homes and our families. We're conscious of the attack, that awful and wicked attack been made upon marriage in the days in which we live. Even our governments, as they seek to redefine what marriage is, we ask thee, Father, to raise a standard for truth and for God in this day in which we live. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Turn our land again to the keeping of the precepts of your word and of your law. Keep your hand, Father, upon every home, every family, every marriage, every couple in this church and in congregation. We pray for your preserving hand. Pray for the help and wisdom of God. We pray that you'll imply these truths upon our hearts. Help us, Father, to ponder them and to meditate. Save us today, even from being forgetful hearers. We pray, Father, for those, if any, experiencing difficulties and problems. May they know the help of God, the hand of God upon them, the power of God displayed. And Lord, give us all wisdom day by day in our homes and in our families. And we pray that most of all, first and foremost, before any others, that our families might see the Savior in us. Hear these our cries. We commit ourselves to thee as we leave the house of God. Remember us through this Sabbath. We pray for the gospel service tonight. May the tide rise, bring in the visitors, and Lord, come and visit us with the saving of souls. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the blessed Paraclete, the Comforter, abide and remain with each one of us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.